Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. We thank you so much for coming out. I want to talk to you now about something that's very important to you and to the Lord. And I would prefer that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ myself, but I'm not the one who counts. It's you. You know, what you do in this life as far as trusting in the salvation provided by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the shed blood of Jesus Christ through the gospel of your salvation, the gospel of the grace of God, is strictly left up to you. God has already saw, whether you're from before He created, spoke the first grain of sand into existence, He saw whether you would or would not trust His Son. So that's His foreknowledge. Yes. But today I want to ask you this. Are you dead in your sins? Or are you dead to sin? There's no other alternative. You're either dead in sins and lost and going to hell, or you're dead to sin because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just how simple it is. Do you believe that Christ did everything necessary on Calvary?
Yes, I do.
Now, let me ask you this. If I tell you that you're crucified with Christ, and that's what Romans 6 says, that you're buried with Him into His death, but you've been resurrected and quickened and made alive to sit in heavenly places, and you have, for your justification to clear you of all sins, do you believe that's it? That's all that's necessary? What if somebody told you had to walk the aisle for Jesus?
That's extra.
That's Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. They've added to the gospel of Christ there. And they're cursed. I don't care if it's a best friend of yours that's a preacher, or if it's back when Peter was preaching, or those certain men that came down from Judea. You're cursed. Anybody that preaches another gospel other than what the Apostle Paul preached. No if, and, buts about it. Yes, sir.
I want to make a comment that just in all your Bible colleges and seminaries, they have a course that's all the same. And it says it's applied theology. In other words, they can agree on the gospel, but then they say, well, how is it applied? And it's by what you have to do to make that apply. Uh-huh. And that's what the whole thing is. And they all have, and that's the reason why they have about 35 or 40 different ways to get saved, is because of applied theology.
There's something you do. Believe and trust.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I've got a lady in my op class, and she just started coming back. She was gone for over a year, year and a half. Her husband is deceased now, and he was a minister. And her first night there, about a year and a half ago, when I showed her this, she said, well, everybody preaches that. Everybody preaches that. No, they don't. As far as I know, there's not another church in Escambia County or Santa Rosa County other than Owen when he comes over there. To where he's doing it at Dubs. Not another church preaches what we preach. Anywhere. In the panhandle of Florida. If you know, you can enlighten me on it. And I don't even know, I talked to somebody, I don't even know if there's another before you get to Jacksonville. There's some further on down in Florida. Jerry Sanders in Panama City on Monday nights, yes.
They'll preach that, but here's what they do. And the scripture says, nails it directly. It says they pervert the gospel. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they're actually saying it, but then they'll pervert it by adding something to it.
Well, that's what my point is right here.
Exactly.
That's why I said, if you got to walk out, if you got to rededicate your life whenever you, quote, sin, deliberate sin? Ain't no such thing as backsliding in this area, but still. Have you got to be baptized?
You won't go to heaven if you're not.
I don't see them preaching it. I see them giving lip service to it. It's like they mention it, but they never preach it that this is what you have to believe.
Right.
So it's like Jesus is over here and He did that. Now you got to do this to get to heaven. So it's like spitting on what He did and giving it raspberries.
Right. It's just like that guy over that I know up there at all. That's a Baptist church. I know Baptist church. I mean, that's a big church out in the middle of nowhere. They're preaching this, but the first act of obedience is baptism. Where's that in the scripture? It's not. I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I've been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, not by water. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It ain't water. Water, if somebody's telling you water's got something to do with your salvation, leave the church. First off, show him the truth. You heard me say him, because a woman's not supposed to be in the pulpit based upon 1 Timothy chapter 3. You've got a preacher or a bishop has got to be the husband of one wife, not the wife of one husband. So, if anybody, I don't care how subtle it is, tells you got to do anything, walk the aisle, tithe, do anything other than trust this, get out from under their teaching.
Amen.
Now, go with me to Romans chapter 3, please. We're going to try to run through 1,000 scriptures here before lunch. It's pretty close. It's pretty close. Either now, keep this on your mind now. Think about it for yourself. Are you dead in your sins or are you dead to sin? That's what I want you to personally know. I don't know about you. I wouldn't swap my salvation for anybody's in here, and you shouldn't swap yours for mine unless you got it wrong. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many is righteous? None. No, not one. Self-righteousness. I just hate that. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We don't go around seeking after God. God loved us. That's why we love Him. Had mercy upon us. Had grace upon us. Verse 11. I mean 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There ain't a soul that does any good. And you can tell me, well, that's Sacred Heart Hospital. They just do a wondrous job. That's Catholic. They do a wonderful job down there in Sacred Heart Hospital treating people. But God does not see one good deed that they do because they're lost. That's the right. Doctrine of the church is evil.
That's right.
And they're going to hell if they trust in the catechism of Pope John Paul III. I've read it. If you ain't read it, you need to get it and find out what they believe. They believe they're fellow Muslims since they... Muslims believe in Father Abraham, and the Catholic Church believes in Father Abraham, that the Muslims is going to go to heaven. Oh, how wrong. I don't even consider the Catholic Church Christian.
No, they're not. They're Catholics.
They've got Mary in the same position as Jesus.
Yes, they do. Now, how about going to... You know these by heart, but go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many is that? Everybody. All. Not if and buts about it. All. Go to Jeremiah 17, 9. Let's just see how bad we really are. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you believe the Bible means what it says, as it says it, to whom it says it? If you don't, you need to get a Bible that tells you the truth and then trust in what the written Word says. The Holy Spirit wrote this book. Holy Spirit is one of the Trinity of God. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I'm telling you, that grandmother that you've got out there, her heart is desperately wicked. That wife that you love so much, and those little children that's born, that's what that is. Their heart is deceitful above all things, and you can't do anything about it except trust. And when they get old enough or have the knowledge to know what salvation is, and there's not an age of accountability, each one is different. But the fact of it is, once they trust the Lord, they're sealed until the day of redemption. And that's a hallelujah for that. Isaiah 64. You know where we're going. Absolutely. 64:6. Isaiah wrote this. He says, but we are all. That word all is encompassing. as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I'm going to stop there. All of your righteousnesses, anything that you can do good to help, you think, it's as a filthy rag. That's pretty well point blank, isn't it? We're all an unclean thing. Psalm 51:5, please. Psalm 51:5. David wrote this. He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Not the act, but in sin. Now we know that because Adam sinned. We might get to that. Well, matter of fact, we're coming up pretty soon. Go over to Job 14. Verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. If you're an unclean thing, as it said in Isaiah 64:6, who can bring that out? No one, it says. So you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the shed blood at Calvary, the gospel of the grace of God. I'm telling you, that is something else. Excuse me. Psalm 53. Let's take a look at 53. We'll start in verse 1. You know, I was told as I was growing up, you don't call anybody a fool. But the Bible says this. Psalm 53. Verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I tell you, if somebody was to tell me, some so-called atheist, there is no God, I'm going to call him a fool because the Bible just said so. Didn't it? I didn't make it up, did I? There is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. None that doeth good. Go to Psalm 10. Verse 4. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Is God in all of your thoughts? Is he? No, he's not. Should he be? Yes. That's what this old flesh is about. You know, Carol and I was watching something I had taped yesterday. It's called Epic Yachts. And I don't. It comes on like the History Channel or something. And, you know, it's something that us common folks will never, ever have. Because this one yacht was $28 million, and this kid owned it, probably about 20 years old. You know, how he got the money, I don't know. But I looked at that, and I just couldn't shut up. I said, I was just taken back by the beauty and the quality and everything that it had on it. And I told her, I said, you know, if we owned something like that, that would pull us away from thinking of God on a daily basis. You would be thinking about how beautiful that yacht was and what you could do on that yacht, where you were going to be going. These were transatlantic yachts. Just imagine if you were a multimillionaire, the things that you could do that the body lusts after to do. And the Bible tells you to set your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things, but we would if we had the money to do it. That's why probably I won't ever win the lottery. Brother Moore played the lottery twice a week, so do I. But what would happen? What happens to people when they win the lottery? Their families just go to hell is what happens. Their lives shattered. Most every one of them that wins, that's what happens to them. They fall apart into earthly things. They set their mind on earthly things, not heavenly things. And this right here, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God's not in all of his thoughts. When you got money like that, are you going to let God be in your thoughts? Are you going to let your lust of material things be in your heart, in your thoughts? Think about that. I'm rich.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ died for me. He was made poor for me, and then I'm made rich through his death on Calvary. Mm-hmm. I don't need this money of the world. I was listening to this preacher. His name is Billy Sample. He's out of Mesa, Arizona. I wish I could have him out for the conference. And I'm going to try to do a couple of his songs. He was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic at age 32. He finally got saved. And now he writes music, gospel songs, and preaches on the street. Married with a few kids. But he had it all. Money. And he just... Whew. So money's not the... He said he lived for 2 years without an income. Him and his wife, since he got saved, 2 years without an income. Think about that. See if you can do that. Go over to Psalm 14 more, would you? We've already seen this said in Psalms, in Psalm 53, but I'm telling you, when you see things more than one time in the Scriptures, you might start thinking about it. Psalm 14:1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Remember reading it? They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That's just about verbatim to the other one. Don't you think that's important for you to understand? It is important for us to understand. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. We're going to try to move on there a little bit. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Verse 12. Romans 5:12. Paul wrote this. Paul wrote Romans through Philemon. And that's where the gospel of your salvation is found. He says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, the first man created by God Himself, entered into the world. And wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, that's mankind, for that all have sinned. All mankind have sinned. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, that's Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God gave Adam a commandment. Adam told his wife Eve about it. Go to Genesis chapter 3. In verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he hath said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She's talking about herself and Adam. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The Satan just lied to her right there. Twisted the words of God. And when the woman in verse 6 saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, hey, something that looks pleasant is not always good for you. That handsome looking guy out there these women chase around is not always good. And that beautiful woman is not always good that you guys chase around. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right there, Adam disobeyed God's commandment of don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And by that, Romans 5:12, that's where we're at. Wherefore, as one man sin entered into the world. You know, Satan was already running to and fro from the earth back up. But do you know what? Even Satan, whenever he had got kicked out of the third heaven, he was still running to and fro. Sin of Satan did not interfere with the perfectness of Adam. You see what it said? Sin entered into the world by the disobedience of Adam, not the disobedience of Satan. Adam. That's what it says. Now, go to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, just a little over. We're going to read a little bit more of this. And it's talking about Adam again. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, that's Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift, I want you to see the word gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That gift of righteousness is God's righteousness placed upon your account because Jesus Christ died on Calvary and paid your sin debt for you. It's God's righteousness. You're 100% as righteous as God Almighty. Does not make you God. Does make you a joint heir with Christ. It makes you an adopted son whereby we cry, Abba, in Romans chapter 8, starting around verse 14 through 17. You can cry, Abba, Father. You can go straight to the Father. Guess what? We've got an intercessor. We don't know what to pray for. But we go and we pray to the Father. Jesus Christ takes that to the third heaven, to the throne room, and God actuates whatever yes or no in His own due time. Not on our time schedule. Not on our time schedule whatsoever. Galatians chapter 3. And I might not want this, but I'm going to go over there and see. Because I'm going to tell you guys, there's some things in Galatians that has to be rightly divided out from us. In Galatians, if you remember correctly, Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ. And he's preaching to the people in the covenants of promise, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And by gosh, right now, we're not one of them. And he said some things to these Galatians, which they were in the covenants of promise, that do not apply to me and you. And I was going through this last night, and I said, because I already knew that, but I was going through it last night. I was going to use a lot of references, and I said, I can't use that. That's not applicable to us. You and I, Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. I want to look at it, make sure I can use it. And it is, I can. But I want to tell you something. You and I have never been under the law. Y'all know that, right? Who was under the law? The Jew and the people in the covenants of promise. So Galatians is a lot about people under the law. The law was here to become a schoolmaster to show us we need a Savior. But we've never been under the law. We're the wild dogs, the ungodly dogs. Those were pet dogs in the covenants of promise, those Greeks who were Gentiles. Back to verse 22 of Galatians chapter 3. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Believe, not believed in past tense, but believe. Go back to Romans chapter 3. And I think I've used this earlier, but verse 9. Paul writes, he says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 3, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. Listen here. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Everyone is under sin. Everyone is under sin. Don't think you can escape without it. You know this by heart, but go to it. Let's look at it. I think if you know it by heart, you still is reinforced by looking at it. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You're going to see another word in here. It's called
gift.
For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Infinite. Through Jesus Christ. No other way. Through Jesus Christ, and it's a gift. The only way to get to heaven. There's one way. That's the way, not a way. A way means there's more than one. It's the way, the only way. You can't circumvent this. You've got to trust in the shed blood, the gospel of the grace of God, or you're not going to make it to heaven. It's not a simple, it's not a hard process. It's a simple thing. But it took me forever to understand that. Because I knew, as Richard brought up earlier, I knew I was going to hell beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I didn't want to go. But not a preacher could tell me how to be saved when I walked out. I listened to all them Baptist ministers that I grew up with. I listened to my dad's Baptist ministry. He was a primitive Baptist over there at Bethel, up in Op. You may have Babby. You know where that's at, y'all guys. Pat does anyway, right there on the corner of 84. And I've been over there. We have great dinners on the ground. But I never got the Word of God preached to me. And I never got it in a regular Baptist church. They were always wanting me to join the church. A physical church. Put my name on the roster. They didn't know anything about the body of Christ. The only church that can save you by being into. Goodness. It's just strange. Why nobody wants to tell you that? It's just absolutely strange. You know, and I'm going to hit this at the conference. I'm going to do it right now, too, a little bit. In 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. Let me go over there and see where it's at. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. I hope that's where it's at. Oh, that's where it's at. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But Paul writes here to these Corinthians. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you cannot see the gospel of the grace of God, you're lost. That's what Paul said. Not what I say. I just read it. The Holy Spirit penned this book, wrote the book, and men, sinful men, penned it. I've heard people say, well, you know, it wasn't just men that wrote the book. No. God wrote the book through the Holy Spirit, but men actually did the writing like I'm writing on the board. They didn't have to know anything. He uses sinful men to His advantage because He used me. Somebody who used to just smoke himself to death, chase every woman that was available, and drink as much as I possibly could, and could care less, and did a good job at it all. Headed to hell. Didn't know how to stop it. When I walked the aisle for Jesus up there at that Methodist church in Hope Hall, Alabama, I never heard the gospel. Ever. But I became somebody in that church. I was a mister. They put me on all the boards. Of course, I was tithing too. They didn't mind that. But I never heard the salvation message. And the old boy was just about to finalize his PhD. Fred Ziegler was his name. I really liked the guy. And I'm going to tell you, I might have mentioned this before. That was in 1978. And Carol and I used to work festivals. And like Rattlesnake Rodeos and those kind of things, seafood festivals, you name it. We sold hats, knives, sunglasses and stuff, and that's how we made our living before I went back in the military. And while I was teaching, because I wasn't making no money teaching, And one day I was in Marianne. We worked a festival down there. And I heard a preacher giving an invocation or a prayer over the PA system. It was Fred Z. I didn't see him. I just knew the voice. And I chased him down. And I had to tell him about Riley the Body. He don't hear it. But it was a quick tell. Because he was trying to get away from me. And he should have been glad I was in his congregation. I'm still on the rolls up there in Hope Hall. But I renounced that baptism into that church because that church won't save me, can't save me, has no idea how to save me. And I remember that apostolic creed that we reported or recited every Sunday. It'd be in a song book or something that was laying in front of you there. I didn't ever memorize it. I said, guys, why are we doing this? We don't know. We just do it. Nobody knew why they were reciting it, but it was just a tradition of the church. Like I told you before, seminaries. Who writes the curriculum for the seminaries? Sinful men do. And they write it biased upon what they've been taught through tradition. Oh, they're going to throw some good scripture in there. Satan works that way. They're going to throw some truths in there, but they're also going to throw some half-truths in there. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And before you know it, you don't have the truth. The gospel has been perverted. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 22, chapter 1. And that's not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This Bible's falling apart. I got my new one out last night, and I said, I'm going to use it. But I couldn't find nothing in it. You know what I'm saying? I know where stuff is on the pages in here. But I couldn't find it. It's a pretty big one, you know. And
you need duct tape.
I've got tape all over this one, Joe. I've done more somehow. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. And we know this to be a true fact, but let's just see the scripture. I want you to see the scripture says it, not me. For as in Adam, all die. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now we talked last week, we probably will next week, about some of the promises that you have in the dispensation of the grace of God once you trust Christ. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. So, all are made alive, it says right there. Simple little sentence. If you've trusted Christ. If you're in Christ, all are made alive. And we know in Ephesians that we're quickened, you know, which is making made alive. Go to Romans chapter 5. Oh, yeah, this Bible's. It's heavy. It's been wrote hard to put it away. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God, thank for that, but God, commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you know God loved you so much, even when you're dead in your sins, before you ever got saved, He loved you so much that He reconciled you back together with Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the median and how it took place. Even though Christ died on the cross for the past, the present, and future sins you're going to commit from now, today, last week, in 10 years from now, they're all paid for. The fact of it is, there was a time in your life that you were out of the will of God totally. You were lost. You were going to bust hell wide open, but God still loved you anyway. That's just, do you love somebody that much? I don't. God loved you when you were just a vile, sinful creature. That's love. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, would you? I'm going to show you just how much. Go to 21. Verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For He, that's God, hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that's Jesus Christ, that we, sinners, ungodly, hell-deserving sinners might be made the righteousness of God in Him, which is in Jesus Christ. That's how much He loved you. He made His only begotten Son, who was sinless, to take the sins of the world. And we know what happened at 12 o'clock noon on the crucifixion day, that Thursday. There ain't no such thing as a Good Friday as far as the church goes. They're all Good Fridays. Every Friday Friday I see is a good Friday. But that day on Calvary, at 12 o'clock, Christ had been hanging up there on that cross for 3 hours. And at 12 o'clock, the whole world turned black. And for 3 hours, the sins of you, every human being, poured out right here. Can you imagine that? I mean, we just take it so lightly. Just think of how vile sinner you are. And I am. Think of the things you do. Think of the things you want to do. Your thoughts are not with God. Man. But it turned dark. And you know, when 3 o'clock came, and it lightened back up. He gave up the ghost. And he paid for all your sins. He took them into the grave. But he was regenerated, born again. When he was raised up, he had no sins. And you know, the earth quaked at 3 o'clock. It's amazing. God works so much. How somebody can't believe in God, in Jesus Christ, as a ransoming substitute. I just find that so hard to believe. But there was a time, I have never had a day in my entire life that I didn't believe this, but I never trusted this. You can believe that. You can actually give lip service to this. Oh, I believe that. Well, you're called a lost believer. And I was one. The first person I ever heard say that was Brother Moore. Talked about lost believers. You can believe this. But if you was to think seriously, if you were on your dying bed, could you say, I really trust that? Or you did. Now, the rubber meets the road here. Where do you believe it or do you trust it? There's a difference. Yes, Joe?
I believe it, but I walk on eggs every day because I didn't trust it. I sweat it every day. I just didn't trust it. Believe it.
I believed it. And I was asking for forgiveness. And right. Oh, God, save me from this and save me from that. I don't want to go to hell, but I believe it. Right. Man. Man, I done been there. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for you. That's not what it says. But it says for the ungodly. Were you ungodly? Put your name in there. Christ died for Richard. Christ died for Carol. Christ died for Jim. Christ died for Pat and everybody in this room. Because you were ungodly. You know, we're in Christ. Our position is perfect. You're sealed, like I said earlier, into the day of redemption. You cannot lose it. But we do still vile things in the flesh. That means that's our everyday walking around condition. But we have been reconciled back to God through the death of His Son. I'm going to go to one more scripture here. You know it too by heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Jim, I'm going to try to get 10 minutes out of here for you. Because I've got another hour here. And I
don't go on.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is the best news. This is the gospel of your salvation. It's the best news that could have ever been delivered. Moreover, brethren, Paul writes, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Is that the gospel that Peter preached?
No.
No way. He said, it's the gospel I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. I pray everyone stands in this gospel, by which also you are saved. It tells you right there, you're saved by this gospel. That's the gospel of the grace of God. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, what that means to me is, I believed it, but I didn't trust it. Believing in vain. I did it. For I, Paul, delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It can't get any better than that. Because we know in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, that Jesus Christ died for all sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. And in Colossians 2, I believe it's 2:10, we're complete in Him. If the Bible says we're complete in Him, what's missing? The word complete answers that, doesn't it? There's nothing missing but once you have trusted the gospel of the grace of God. If you haven't trusted Christ, I'm telling you now, examine yourselves. Go over, one more. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians, I can't leave without this. It's like leaving home without that American Express card. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. If you haven't, or if you think you've trusted and you're not sure, Verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? You can believe this and still be a reprobate. You've got to trust it for your eternal salvation. Where are you going to spend eternity? In condemnation forever in the lake of fire and brimstone and separated from God? Or are you going to spend it with the Lord Jesus Christ in everlasting eternal life? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.